You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And welcome back. We had to go stick our head in the fridge. It is hot, it is humid, and a lot of great people here. And one of the attendants brought me one of the gentlemen, a good friend of mine, actually, and it's a good friend of his family's a good friend of mine, brought a fan over, and that's nice. But listen, as much as the first hour was a good time, the fun we have during the breaks and the fun we had during that extended break is I don't know if it's even more fun, but it's equally fun, and I wish y'all could be here for all of it. Welcome back to the program. Hour number 2 of 3 now upon us. I'm James Edwards. This is TPC live from South Carolina, another live remote broadcast to hear our fourth, and hopefully the fourth of many, many, many to come. So we have talked about the Jolly Boys, and I've got one of the chief Jolly Boys here with me now. Each and every time I've been here, Hunter has been a real mainstay and a real pillar of these broadcasts. Hunter is a great guy. I was talking to Hunter last night at supper, preparing for the program tonight, and I really want to say this to everybody, Hunter. You're really, out of all the years and all of the events and all of the places I've been and the people I've met, I really feel a great affection for you and what you're doing as a young man with a growing family and your role you're playing here with this event and your family. When we were here in January, got a chance to go to the Confederate Museum here in the local area, and your father was the curator there, and it's just a magnificent family. Hunter, great guy.
James, that's too much, man. That's overwhelming to come from you. I appreciate it. I just want to speak to the crowd about the young people that are out there that might be listening tonight and what they can do moving forward in the environment that we're living in nowadays.
Okay, tell us what you're thinking.
I'm sitting here with another young man as well, and I've got some advice for some young men. If you've got an older gentleman, an older white gentleman in your sphere that is willing to take the time out of his daily life to teach you and to show you things, you need to get on board with that. And I've been fortunate enough to meet older white men in my life that have helped me out so much and have shown me the way, taught me things, brought me out of things. And that's what I would say moving forward. If you are a young white dissident in the world out there, look for the white men that are willing to take the time out of their day to give you some help in the future.
Well, it's patrimony, right?
Yes.
This is our patrimony. This is patriarchal. There's a hierarchy here. And we respect our elders, and we respect our betters. And we need to know that there is a tier to this thing, and we're a cog in the engine, but we're fighting for our past, our present, and our future. And all reverence and respect should be paid to those who have seen more and done more than we have.
Exactly.
And to that end, if you don't mind, well, and tell me if you don't want to talk about this, okay? Don't mind saying, no, we'll just pass. Speaking of your father, who had the wonderful time hanging around with you, we palled around all day in advance of the January broadcast we did here, went to the museum, as I mentioned. You shared with me a story last night that was really, really touching to me. Would you mind just giving a short snapshot of that for the audience?
No, I don't mind at all. I live in an area with no phone signal or internet, and I work in an area with no phone signal or internet, and me and my father are currently business partners together, and we would ride up the mountain together, and we would press play on your shows on Monday, listening to the first segment. This is during Confederate History Month.
Back in April.
And Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the first segment was on Monday. The second segment was on Tuesday. The third segment was on Wednesday.
First, second, third hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Listening to your show. And me being involved with Confederate Heritage my whole life, and I was there when the Hundley was raised. I've the first truck that I had in high school carried a dead Confederate soldier in it by the name of Williams Downs Farley. That's been my life. And to ride in the truck with my dad on the way to work to earn money for my family, and to listen to somebody on public radio that is speaking exactly to who we are and what we are, unapologetically, unabashedly, that meant a lot to me. And there was a lot of bonding moments that me and my dad had together just listening to you. So I appreciate your Confederate Heritage Month bit, and I'll be listening every year from here on out.
I appreciate you saying that. It meant so much to me, who had a very special and still have a special relationship with my own father, but with my grandfather as well, both of, you know, now long since been called home. Did you share that story about how that was a bonding experience between you and your father, two men that I have a great deal of respect for? Really, that is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. People say, well, why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep suffering the slings and the arrows? Because, you know, you're not going to single-handedly be able to turn the rudder. And I figured that out a long time ago. I wasn't going to be able to save the country or anything like that through the work on this radio program. But if I could view myself as a shepherd and the people who tune in as the flock, if there's any way possible that we could tend to them and that we could benefit them and still, as we're doing with this broadcast,
that
this
small moment in time was so valuable to me, James. Me and my father together.
That's why I do this. I want to say this, and without any sort of all shucks or, you know, insincerity, I'm sure I played the least role in it. Keith Alexander. No.
Keith Alexander. I like Keith.
Our guest during Confederate History Month. I mean, there wouldn't be a Confederate History Month without the pro-South and Southern guests that we have on. So I'm just a piece of the puzzle in that. But the fact that the entire program and our entire contingent and company played a role in a nice bonding moment for a father and son, really, that's the real deal. That's where you're reaching people in a way that really improves a life, and it's very special to me to hear that.
And I just want to give a shout out to Keith Alexander.
Yes, he's listening tonight, undoubtedly.
I like a lot of what you have to say, and after listening to you for a while now, I think that you bring a lot to the program, and I think you're able to connect with an audience that may be a little bit different than mine, me being a millennial and whatnot, and you're able to bring up and recall court cases from the 60s and 70s that I'm really have no I hadn't even heard of.
That's one thing that's so cool about this program, that here I am now 42, but I was 24 when I started the show, and all of my friends are, you know, 30 or 40 years older than me, but it makes for a really interesting synthesis in that, because it's unusual that people my age would consider as their closest friends people that are so much older, but I have such a great deal of respect and reverence, and together it's, you know, we kind of plug in the holes that the other one might not be able to fill independently. And so, yeah, I mean, Keith Alexander and all the people who have played a role in this program and making it go. I mean, all thanks due to them and the audience and the donors and the guests and the production staff and the ownership and the station managers. Together, we've made something happen here. But obviously, Keith being on the air with me just about every week, you know, an oversized role there. So I'm sure he's listening, and I'm sure he's beaming with pride, and I'll be back in the studio with Keith next week. We'll be back. We've got much more to come. How about Hunter, ladies and gentlemen? Hunter of the Jolly Boys. We're going to get Hunter, and we're going to get Marshall teamed up, and we're going to get some ladies on the program as well, so stay tuned for that.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, We're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
All right, everybody. Now, I'm at, yeah. Let's get me in the hunter here. All right. We should have done this during the break, I guess. But what we've got here now, ladies and gentlemen, as we're live on the air, is we're going to have Hunter. Okay, one, two, three. All right, there we go. Picture. All right, we're going to have Hunter. And we're going to get Mike Gaddy back on here in just a couple of minutes. And before the end of the hour, we're going to hear from a lovely young lady who is a mainstay during our Ladies' Nights broadcast. Now, we've been doing those the last few Valentine's days, and that's always a fun show. That's a unique show, and that's a show that every year now it's just populated with nothing but the ladies of the TPC's audience. And Megan's been one of the key contributors to that. And so we'll be talking to her in a moment. And she is, of course, married to the very lucky Marshall, who is here. And Hunter, I have seen this with my own eyes today in at least two different very key instances. And that is people meeting for the first time that are just hitting it off. So we talked about Mike Gaddy and Mark Tommy, who were featured heavily during the first hour. We're going to get, again, Mike back on in just a moment. But so they hit it off. And you, Hunter, met Marshall for the first time at supper last night. And I'll let you and he take it away from there. But before we do that, Marshall, why don't you go ahead and give yourself an introduction? Marshall has been a longtime friend of mine, close personal friend, and has been on the program before. But we'll let him introduce himself. And then, Hunter, how about you and he just sort of play off of each other and you tell us why we're doing that?
Go, Marshall. Marshall Clayton Rawson, it's a pleasure to be here tonight. This great radio program, and I also like to say it's a pleasure to be here amongst my people and my countrymen here in Dixie in the great state of South Carolina. I'd like to give a round of applause to this every South Carolinian on the radio program.
Marshall, I look at you and I see a young, fit, intelligent gentleman. You've got a beautiful family. There are so many young, dissident white men who want that. Moving forward, what advice could you give the young listeners? That's
a great question. In fact, that's a question that my wife has introduced on her blog several times. I think it's Dixie Bell blog that my wife, Dixie Bell blog that my wife writes on. And I think, quite frankly, you know, just being your better self, you know, putting your best foot forward, you know, spiritually, physically, emotionally, intellectually, you know, that's what it's about as far as meeting, you know, a significant spouse, you know, attracting that mate, you know, that you desire and that, you know, the Lord willing desires for you. I think that's what's important, you know, in the process of meeting, you know, a significant other and creating that family that glorifies God and glorifies our Southern nation.
Hear, hear. You bring a good point up. And I had an individual come up to me today at our event here today, and they told me that what impressed them the most about what's going on here is that it's all out in the open. Mm. It's all in the light.
Amen.
We're not cockroaches crawling around in the dark.
Absolutely.
We're not rats that come out at midnight.
Yes.
And that's what I see with you and your family. I see somebody that comes at you full force.
What you see is what you get with my family, most certainly. And I think you bring up a great point, Hunter. And I think I wish a lot of, for instance, people in the Sons Confederate Veterans, it comes to my mind when I think of coming forward and presenting yourself. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we're content with having our, you know, for instance, you know, our Confederate Memorial Day services, you know, in April, off to the side, you know, in a cemetery that nobody is invited to, you know, that the public and you know and the people, you know, of the area are not, you know, involved with. And I think that's such a shame, you know, and that's what's so unique about this event here this weekend is that, like you said, it is out in the open. It is for everybody to see. And, you know, it helps encourage, you know, taking back our birthright and taking back that pride. And I'm talking about true organic pride, not the pride that the left has perverted into some satanic form and version. But our organic heritage, our identity, and our posterity going forward. I think that's what's so unique about where we're at, what we're doing this weekend.
Right, and why is that important, Marshall? Because we just spoke with a seventh grader outside.
Absolutely, yes.
And we spoke to this seventh grader. What did he have to say? He saw everything that we see, and he's in seventh grade. He knows that the world is anti-white. He knows that the schooling system is making him feel white guilt. He knows that the homosexuality and the LGBTQ crap is being pushed everywhere. He knows that. He's in seventh grade, and he can see that. And we come to him, and we present a strong posture.
Well, you know, and this is something, you know, I'm sure the left will, scratch their nails on the chalkboard, you know, hearing. But these are impressionable young men, you know, our people, our young men, you know, by extension. And, you know, they need leadership. They need guidance, like we all have needed at one point and still need to a large extent.
And that goes back to the generational bridges that I was talking about in the first segment, which is our elders who do take the time.
Most certainly, yes.
To put effort into us and to help us.
And like you say, like you're insinuating, Hunter, instilling that sense of pride and honor, you know, back into, you know, our people, you know, our kinsmen, particularly those youth, you know, younger than us, most certainly, you know, that it is okay to be white, that you do have a heritage, a Southern heritage, that is the envy, quite frankly, of the world. I mean, you can go to London, England, you know, and they have, you know, Southern cuisine, you know, they have you have Southern culture, you know, written about in plays, you know, across the world because we are a unique people, you know, a people of similar cultural, ethnic, racial, linguistic, religious similarities. That is what a nation is, not a political construct, not a social imagination, social construct or a political union, but a people, an organic people, a people that God has put here, and that's something that we would want for everybody across the world to have, is that sense of identity and people, and a people who have that deep sense of identity and heritage are people that are less easily controlled by you know, one world government or an incentivist, one world, like a dictatorship that would want to control the nations. So that sense of identity and diversity across the nations is a good thing. And we have so much to be proud of here in Dixie. I mean, you know, and I think it's, to continue, regarding our monuments, for instance, you know, I think a real concern with our monuments is something that really bothers me with the monuments is it's not just removing history per se. It's if you can remove the memory of men in the past who defended our homes, then you can help dwarf or maybe prevent men or women in the future from rising up and defending our communities going forward. And that's I think that is the deeper the deeper, darker element behind the removal of our monuments.
That is the deeper, darker element. You're getting to it, brother. Those monuments are nothing but a preface to get to the origin of what they want to get to, and that is white women. They want to come after our white women. That's what they want. Because why? Because white women are the only women that can birth white babies. That's why they want to come after us. And you can see it in the media. You can see it where AOC was just painted blue-eyed blonde hair, and it went crazy viral on Twitter. And all these people came out hating on it because it was blue-eyed blonde hair women. They want to come after our women. That's what they're after. This is a power struggle. It is a power struggle. They want to come here. They want our food. They want our money. And most of all, they want our women.
Well, and they want our women because they hate our men, because our men have shown that they are, you know, the protectorates of Western civilization. I mean, if Western civilization is to have a stand, it is to have a stand in Dixie and nothing else, because Dixie is the one that has always defended Western civilization and greater Christendom, and I think we should take our stand here.
Clyde Wilson made one comment, and I've always remembered it since he made it. He said, the South will play a major role. I'm paraphrasing. The South will play a major role in the final chapter of history.
Amen.
And that's so true.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am retiring from radio. They don't need me anymore. I mean, hey, how about these two guys? Let's hear for them as loud as you can. Hunter and Marshall, and we're going to take a quick break. My goodness, that was the best segment we've done all year. I wish I could have been a part of it. Hey, we'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Sri Lanka's prime minister is stepping down after thousands expressed their displeasure of a worsening economic crisis in the country. They stormed the president's residence and office, though it was not clear if the president was inside at the time. The country is currently seeking a bailout from the International Monetary Fund. Secretary of State Antony Blinken criticized what he called China's alignment with Russia after talking to his Chinese counterpart.
What you hear from Beijing is that it claims to be neutral. I would start with the proposition that it's pretty hard to be neutral when it comes to this aggression.
Blinken's overseas for a G20 summit that ended Friday, Western diplomats condemning Russia's war with Ukraine. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov walked out of summit sessions twice, accusing the West of rabid Russophobia. This is USA Radio News.
Paid for by Govmint.com. Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you're guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you'll receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
Mourners in Tokyo lowered their heads as the body of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe drove by. Abe was fatally shot during a campaign speech Friday. His body returned home to Tokyo on Saturday. Abe's attacker told investigators that he had planned the shooting because of his belief that Abe was part of an organization he resents. A top police official acknowledged that possible security lapses allowed the assassin to fire his weapon. British Defense Minister Ben Wallace says he will not run to replace Boris Johnson as Conservative Party leader and the country's next prime minister. He said he did so after careful consideration and discussing it with colleagues and family. Wallace was seen as the favorite by some after Johnson resigned Thursday amidst several ethics scandals. Overall, Wall Street crawled to a winning week on Friday after a stronger-than-expected jobs report. The major indexes were mixed at the close. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am back, but I'll tell you, the show would probably be more interesting if we just left it in the hands of Hunter and Marshall for the rest of the time tonight. That was sensational to listen to. I was sitting here with my co-host tonight for tonight's program, Mike Gaddy, and Mike walked over to me about mid-segment, last segment, and tell us what. I just want to say first, I have to keep adjusting our levels here because different people speak at different tones of voice and hold the mic a little bit closer, a little bit further away than to their mouth. So I'm adjusting on the fly as we have each person coming in and taking a mic. But pardon any of the momentary disruptions. But anyway, Mike, you walked over and made a comment mid-segment between Marshall and Hunter. And what did you say?
I said, you can't script this. No one could write this well of what these two young gentlemen, these two Confederates, who are Confederates every day of their lives and not just on holidays. You cannot script that. No one could write that as well as they presented it in such a great fashion. And I just told both of them, you know, when the time comes, I'm ready to leave my Confederacy and my honor of my heritage to people like these two gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, do you feel as though the future is in good hands if bequeathed to young men like that?
I tell you what, you know.
Because this is multi-generational. You know, we were talking with the founder of the Feast here tonight, and he said you're talking about generational building and the bridging of generational gaps. And so here we have you, and then I'm in my 40s, and then we have people in their 30s and in their 20s, and they've all been on the radio tonight.
Absolutely, and I was thinking very much about a comment of the great General George S. Patton when he said, give me a regiment of Citadel graduates, and I'll win you a battle. Give me a division of VMI graduates, and I'll win you a damn war.
How about that?
And that is, you know, these guys are just fantastic. And I wanted to kind of follow up on one of Hunter's comments. And this is something that most people just don't seem to understand this when he talked about this, you know, the fact of our white women. And that's something that's always troubled me. And I'm going to tell you something right here. And I promised Marshall I would say something that might get us kicked off the air. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want any proof whatsoever that the black men in this country, at least a great majority of them, if you want proof that they believe in white supremacy, look at who they try to marry.
There you go.
Look at who they try to marry. Look at the NFL. Look
at
the
NBA. You got a rise out of Hunter over there
on
the couch.
Look at them and look who they are pursuing as future mates. They believe in white supremacy. And that, you know, and that's something I don't think people are going to understand. I'm sure I've just made myself at least 2,000 or 3,000 new friends and 37 million new enemies, but I could really care less because it's the truth, and I'll wear the truth, always wear the truth. But I tell you what, I was emotional listening to these two guys. We have people to lead this to, and they're not just talking about this standard that they hold on Confederate Memorial Day.
Let's talk about this, Mike. Let's talk about all of the anti-white, anti-South propaganda. You just had two gentlemen that proved the fact that there is some immunity to it. You can withstand it. You can overcome it. And you can still be a strong man and a leader of any age. And that gives me hope while it must deflate our enemy. And because here's the thing, we don't have to have a majority to win. You need that tireless minority. You need that even single-digit percentage of people that are willing to do something. And when time and circumstance meets the occasion and the man rises to meet it, I think we've got enough. I think we're growing in numbers. But what I just heard you know, you give me a few people like that, and you're going to make some noise. You can win with men like that.
Absolutely, and, you know, it's just fantastic to hear them. And to know this, again, it was a great gift to hear these guys make that presentation. It just...
completely off the cuff. You know, they didn't even know they were going to be on in the same segment. That wasn't planned. That wasn't orchestrated. They didn't go over what they wanted to talk about. I just put a microphone in each of their hands, and I said, let's, you know, take it where you want.
And nobody was pointing a gun at them. they did fantastic. And, again, you know, I don't want to just continue on and be redundant, but I'm so proud of these guys. They give me a lot of faith in where this is going. And, you know, both of them said the same thing. You know, we need you old farts to be mentors.
You know, and did they say it like that?
No, but that's what they meant. But I take that as a compliment. It doesn't bother me at all. That, to me, that's fantastic. If anything I could give to these men with their spirit, any day of the week, any hour of the day, all they got to do is get in touch with me. They got what I got.
Well, you've already heard from a young man in New York who said he's used your argument in listening to you on the radio tonight, and I'm sure that you haven't had any personal contact with him. But it's somebody who knows you by reputation, knows your work, has heard you on this program, and is using your arguments up even in New York City.
Well, I was just thinking that if Dr. Fauci was listening to these two guys, he's out trying to create a vaccine for the Confederate virus.
Raise your hand if you're vaxxed tonight. Raise your hand if you're vaxxed in here. Not one hand went up. Not one hand went up. How about that?
Oh, imagine that. And you notice, I noticed the
only... Not one.
The only people who were wearing masks were the people who robbed the place.
I guarantee you nobody's robbing this place. This is a super spreader event we're at right now. We should all be dead by next week.
We actually put invitations outside. Please, all you guys who are bad guys, please come in.
What's the shirt say? If you want to be a thug, be ready to take a slug?
If you want to be a thug, get ready to take a slug.
Yeah.
I like that, but my favorite T-shirt is my anger management class pisses me off.
There's a lot of good I've seen a lot of good T-shirts on the people around here today.
Oh, some great stuff. I mean,
go. Do you think we've got men in the mold of the Confederate warrior, Nathan Bedford Forrest, in the here today?
Oh, without a doubt. And when I got here this morning, I might have given a maybe to that. But these gentlemen, along with several others I've met, have changed that in my head. I'm going to go home a happy guy. I mean, really happy, not just the fact I got to see your ugly ass, but the fact that I get to actually visit with brothers of spirit and brothers of mind and people who hold the same things dear that I do that are a generation, two generations younger than I am.
We're Southern Saxon warriors.
Southern Saxons, we just heard from from our host tonight. So I got to, you drove... You said it was a GPS said it was a 3-hour drive. It was really 4.
Yeah, they lied.
And you're not keeping a hotel tonight. You're driving home after the show, so you're going to get home about 2 in the morning. Worth all that to be here today to experience all this?
Well, if I could meet this group of people, I'd drive down there and come back. it's worth every second of it. It's worth it. And yeah, I got a beautiful wife. I got to get home too.
The South is still alive.
Absolutely.
And I think if the South were unencumbered, if she could, and we talked about this at the opening of the show, if the people of the South could do what they want to do and be who they want to be without fear of reprisal, without fear of social condemnation, and you shouldn't fear these things, but fear of social condemnation, fear of losing a job, and listen, I get that. That's a very real threat. That has very severe consequences. But given the chance to be free, I don't think it takes a month.
How's that a choice?
Before the South is the South again.
How's that a choice? How can someone choose not to be free? I mean, you have to be a well-indoctrinated Marxist idiot to not want to be free. I mean, you have to be totally...
Well, I've seen a few of them.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm not going to go any further than that. I have talked to quite a few of them. I've talked to quite a few of them. It's absolutely unreal, the psyops that the government has run on these people, starting back with MKUltra, what they have done through the people, what they've done through the media, what they have done through books written by PhDs, that means piled higher and deeper, Marxism, and what they have been able to do is to capture the mind of their future enemies, but we now know it doesn't catch on everywhere. Everybody hasn't fallen for it.
And it only we keep using the word remnant. It only takes that faithful remnant to keep the spark alive long enough for it to reignite. And I think we've got that. I've seen it. I know it. I've seen it through the correspondence. I've seen it. We've been talking increasingly this the last year and a half about polls and people coming around, even normie conservatives and Republican-based people who are coming around to these ideas. And
James,
you know, there are a couple of missed paychecks away and an economic collapse away from becoming who they are.
Well, James, any person with two brain cells to rub together knows something's seriously wrong. And by God, it wasn't the South that brought it on.
I wanted to talk to you about that. We're taking a break, but you mentioned this a moment ago. You were talking to Hunter during one of the breaks about your excellent article that you wrote years ago that we revive and talk about each and every Confederate History Month. Tell us the title of that article.
It's Not Your Flag, Yankee Bastard.
We'll talk more with Mike Gaddy as the show goes on about that specific article. I don't remember that being the exact title, but
it's not.
We'll be right
Poetic
back.
License, Edwards.
We'll be right back. Mike Gaddy.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards, TPC, live from upcountry, the upcountry in South Carolina tonight. It's another celebration of the South, and we're happy to be here, really more than happy to be here, honored to be here, privileged to be here. This is truly white privilege tonight, that the honor that I have to be here and to have been invited, and for the people who are hosting such an event as this to care enough about our program to think that we would be a good fit. It is entirely our honor to be here and to be amongst such individuals. You've only heard from a fraction of those who have been here today, but I think it's been a good representative sampling of the spirit and the people that I've had the opportunity to engage and fellowship with. And now back with us once again is Megan. And Megan is a young lady that I've had the opportunity to know for a few years now. And she is a mainstay during our Ladies' Nights events, and she's been on the show, I don't know, two, three, four times at least. And back with us tonight, she's here at this event. And I was joking with Megan earlier. I've actually never seen her not pregnant before, but she is not currently, but she's got three beautiful young children, and one in her lap right now with a microphone in hand and a baby in the other. Megan, how are you doing tonight?
Good, good. I'm just so happy to be here and happy that this type of event is going on and that my children can experience this. It's just, it's incredible. It's very heartwarming, and I'll get sentimental and cry if I talk about it too long. It's
well,
very encouraging.
I guess we can only keep you for one segment then, but I know you wanted to make mention of what you've experienced and the kind of people you've met today, and we'll start there, and then I'll share a little anecdote in a moment.
Right. My husband, Marshall, and Hunter were talking about, you know, finding the right spouse and to continue all of this. And I was thinking this event and events like this are just a great way to not only meet somebody like that, but if you've met somebody and they're not really on the same page yet, you're trying to figure out how to bring them along and you're trying to convince them yourself, this is one of the best places, because places like this and League of the South events is kind of how Marshall introduced me to more of this. And I grew to really know my roots and cherish that. And it was being around these type of people. It wasn't just him himself trying to convince me. I was just like, wow, these are really genuine people. This is awesome. I want my children to grow up around this. And it was just, it's just a whole world I was introduced to. I didn't really see before, I guess. It was like the night and day difference you're talking about. This is out in the open, and it's wonderful. It's not, everybody's using the R word and derogatives associated with the wrong thing.
So when I first met you, we were talking about this a moment ago. So you're friends with my wife, and your family is friends with our family, and I'm thankful for that. That's been going on for some years now. But I think the first time I met you in person was more years now than it seems at a League of the South event. And I think I remember doing a remote broadcast from there, and you and Marshall were together. But I don't think you were even yet married.
No.
But you were there.
I was probably 17 or 18.
17 or 18. All right. So it just goes to show, you're a living embodiment, as my wife is, and as are other females in this audience, that and females here in this audience tonight, even in our live gathering here. There is a lot of despondency. There is a lot of upsetness amongst young white men, and in many ways, understandably so. They've been taught their whole lives that they are nothing, that their ancestry is nothing but evil, and they're oppressors, and they've turned to drugs, and they don't believe that they can attract attractive mates or people worth marrying if they maintain these beliefs. You're living proof that that's not true.
Right.
So
right.
The message didn't turn you off, in other words, when
for
you
sure.
were even as a teenager.
Oh, and the biggest part was that Marshall was so confident about it, and there wasn't a inkling in him that it was anything to be ashamed of. It was a wonderful thing, and that's what it is. So there shouldn't be anything else, any other feeling about it that would turn somebody away. You just own it and embody it and show your future spouse what is so good about it. And it's really, I mean, if any healthy woman is going to want to have children and they care about that child's future, that's one of the biggest things too. They're going to see that this is really the only way to bring a good future about for them, because the direction things are going now is not good at all, and we need more of these type of people, and having these type of people having more babies. I don't know if anybody has heard of The Wife with a Purpose. I think you've had her
yeah,
on before.
Yeah, that's Ayla Stewart.
Right, and she gave a challenge one time of I forgot how many it was, but for people to have more babies, white families to have more babies, and I kind of want to take up that torch and encourage people to go have more babies. I need like all these women that are even slightly on the same page, have 10 babies. That's kind of our goal and challenge.
Well, you're on your way. So I met you when you were a teenager, not yet married. Now you're a wife and a mother of three in her mid-20s and still growing. But this is something I don't think that we can repeat this enough. For young men out there, be confident. Be
yes.
confident in who you are.
Right.
Obviously, confidence attracts
right.
quality mates. But don't hide your candle under a bushel either. Don't be of the, you could be in this world, but not of it. And don't succumb to the narrative that the system would want you to espouse
right.
in hopes that that's what you have to be and that's what you have to say
right.
in order to reproduce. But we do have a problem with young white men and their confidence levels.
And not to interrupt, but I would say persistence is probably just as important as confidence, because there was many a times that we would get in arguments about something or just be so disheartened to think, oh, this is not going to work, whatever, because we would get – like me as an emotional woman would get so upset and trying to understand this and connect the dots and understand this adventurous route Marshall wanted to take in life and all this stuff. And but we just always made it work and came back together. And I would always understand in the end that, no, that's like, I would compare like what my life would be like without knowing all this and really having a mission and passion in life. And then I would think about what it could be like with that and taking up that torch. And like you handle, James, there's going to be more arrows thrown at you. It might not be the most comfortable life, but you're fighting for something and you have that passion that never dies. So it was worth it to pick
certainly
that.
Not the most comfortable, but it is the most rewarding. And that's the thing. It's a life worth living. And you can have these temporal luxuries and... There's a kid wrapped up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at one of Megan's children wrapped up in every bit of broadcasting equipment and cord we've got here. But that's part of the program. Marshall to the rescue. Thank you, Marshall. We would have made it happen anyway. Our producer would have put up some elevator music until we got reconnected. But anyway, but no, you can attract quality mates by being who you are and being proud of it. And it doesn't take you being a system lackey in order to find a quality spouse. But we do have this problem amongst our young men. They're despondent, they're discouraged, and they're not going out there and being go-getters. And we need men to be able to be conquerors.
Right. They have to take the initiative for sure. And then women need to be able to submit and follow that lead. But the men need to take the initiative. So it's a two-way.
You're not
going
to submit to a man who doesn't show
right,
authority.
Right.
So let's go back to this event, Megan. What you've seen here, the people you've interacted with, this is something we're asking of each of the participants tonight, and everybody's done such an amazing job, and you're among them as well. But the people you've met with, I was joking. I was walking out. I got here early to set up for the program. Then I went back to the hotel and changed clothes and came back about an hour prior to the broadcast, and I was joking. I said, you made a new friend. Everybody's making friends here today.
Oh, yes.
So let's talk about some of the ladies you've talked with today and some of the people in general.
Well, Miss Rachel being one that I particularly have been fond of today. She's been so helpful. But just, I think one of the biggest things I can say is, I think Marshall and Hunter touched on this, is that you know it's the right group of people. You know it's your people when it doesn't matter how long you've known them and you can trust them. I could hand my baby to anybody here and be out of sight for several minutes, an hour, and I trust them. It's just a group of people.
That is a great comment. I'm glad you brought it up.
That's one of the biggest points, I guess. It's
all family.
That wraps
because
up
it is family.
Like,
yeah. We are of the same blood. We are the same bone. We are the same mind.
Right.
Marshall, we've got a couple of minutes left, a little bit, maybe two or three minutes, three or four minutes left in this segment. Let's bring husband and wife together here. You were such a powerhouse in that segment with Hunter. Let's let you and your wife hold court here for a moment on the radio if we can. This is a rare opportunity to do such a thing.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it, James, and thanks so much for having us on the program. But my wife touched on a significant point, so did you, James. You know, these are people that you might not have met until just yesterday, and yet these are people that, not to get, you know, overly dramatic, but that you'd be willing to die, you know, bleed with on a battlefield tomorrow in defense of our cause, in defense of our nation, in defense of our people. And that's something unique, something organic, something that can't be artificially instilled within a people. And that's something that's special that's about our people and something that I'm grateful for and something to cherish and something to celebrate. Absolutely.
Oh, I second that, obviously. And I look around and see all these people, and I just want to see more of them. I just want everybody to have more babies.
Well, you're doing it, right?
So we're leading by example. It's everybody else's turn now.
Yeah, I want to say something on that note. As I tell all of our friends, you know, hey, if you don't have you should have your own children. You should have many of them, because if you don't, you're going to be paying for people to have children regardless, people who might not share your faith and heritage. People who might hate you, and who might vote against your interests and vote to remove, to take your property and your money and your resources. And that's another reason why you should have more children, because it's naive to think that, oh, well, we can't afford to have children. Well, quite frankly, you're going to be paying for people to have children, but it's going to be people who hate your faith and heritage.
We can't afford not to have more children.
To not have more children. Yes, absolutely. Give it to Hunter.
Yes. In fact, we are feeding the children that will grow up and hate us. But I do want to say something, James. We did have a family that showed up with 10 children, a mother and a father that had 10 children together that showed up today here. You saw them?
I didn't know Sam Bushman was here today. I missed him.
So somebody's out there doing the work that others won't do.
Or they won't know how. There was an interview in the movie Casino where Robert De Niro is interviewing Frankie Avalon, and I can't remember how many kids Frankie Avalon had, but he said, I can't believe you've had as many kids. And he said, it was my pleasure. Well, take a break, everybody. Marshall, Megan, Hunter, how about the second hour of tonight's live broadcast? I'll be back, unfortunately, with Mike Gaddy.
Yeah.
Who's the best looking guest of the night so far? He's pointing at him. Yeah, not me. He's pointing at him. All right. Thank you, Megan. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.